What is the unpardonable sin? How can we avoid it? We saw yesterday that the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit does not refer to a terrible sin if there is repentance. It does not refer to denying the Trinity either. Instead, by examining the encounter of Jesus Christ with the Pharisees, we saw that the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit has three elements. Number one, rejecting the Holy Spirit. Number two, doing it willingly and knowingly. So today we'll be reinforcing the same thing, but apply to us, not to the Pharisees, to us. Let's see if we see the same three elements related to the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and then we will review what we can do in order to avoid doing that. So, the Pharisees didn't have the Holy Spirit, brethren. I don't know if you think about that, didn't think about that, but they didn't. And Jesus said that they were in danger of committing the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, They just saw too much, right? They knew that they were lying. They plotted against Jesus. They did it willingly, with time, preparation. They just saw too many miracles, and that's why they were in danger. So it was not ignoring. It was not just saying words without knowledge and without willing to do that. So, but what about us, brethren? Can we commit? I mean, the world doesn't have the knowledge, so it's not the same for them. Even if they speak some kind of evil against the Spirit or whatever, they reject it in some way or another, they just don't have the knowledge of the truth, so they can't commit the unpardonable sin. But what about us? There are two scriptures that speak about that, because and those are in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 6 verse 4 and to 6, because even though we were not on earth when Jesus Christ was here on the flesh and he was performing miracles, the chances are that we have seen the miracles of the Holy Spirit in some way or another, because if we repented and accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and were baptized, as Acts chapter 2, 38 says, then maybe we have received the Holy Spirit. So if we have the Holy Spirit, we have experienced the Holy Spirit, and we might in some way or another reject it because we have the knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. We have this element of knowledge, one of the three elements that we are seeing, knowledge, and have tasted the heavenly gift. That is, we have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Again, we have knowledge, the Holy Spirit, number two, and have tasted the good word against knowledge and the powers of the age to come. We know the plan of God. We know God's salvation. So we have knowledge, and we have the Spirit of God working with us, and have tasted the good word and the powers of the age to come. If they fall away, if they do it willfully, if they decide to go away, if the people from the church who has the Spirit of God, who has the knowledge of the truth, decide to go away willfully, they determine to go away, then they crucify against themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. It is impossible for them to repent again. Yeah. So we have again these three elements. So falling away describes a person who willfully rejects God's way of life and his Spirit, and just go and do his own thing. I don't care about what God says. This is falling away. It's like you became very close friends with someone very, very rich. And you were probably poor. and in a bad condition, and that person helps you. And he tells you, you know what? I want to give you my car. A very expensive car is yours. And the house that I have, the mansion that I have, is yours as well. And the island that I have in the Pacific, you can have it as well. And you need an helicopter to move there. So it's yours. And the plane, and a lot of things. And you are, well, yes, that's great. I'll receive that. I'm very happy to receive all of that. And you have this very good relationship with that person. But then as just the time goes on, you just decide, you know what? I just don't care about that person. He's too good, maybe. And I just don't want to have a relationship with him anymore. I'll do my own thing. And that's kind of committing the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Just rejecting completely God's way. Let's go to the second scripture in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 27. Hebrews 10, 26. It says, for if we sin willfully, again, this one important element, willfully, deliberately. Willful is a bit different than willingly. Willful means to do it determined, with determination. Like the Pharisees, they were determined to plot against Jesus. They didn't want to change. So doing something willfully is with persistent, I'm going to do it no matter what. You decide and you don't want to change. So it's against repentance. Doing willfully is not, you don't want to change. So if we sin willfully, after we have the knowledge of the truth, the second element, willfully, and the knowledge, and it has to be the truth. Our friends over there, they don't have the truth, frankly, friends. So, but we do have the truth. So we have to be very careful with what we have. We have a great blessing. We're very greatly blessed, but we have a great responsibility as well. So if we sin willfully and we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. But what about the third element? So willfully, knowledge, there is knowledge, there is this willfully attitude. What about the third part, so that, which refers to rejecting God's Spirit? That's mentioned in actually in the last part of verse 29. It says, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he thought worthy who tramples against the Son of God and insulted the Spirit of grace? So we have here rejecting the Holy Spirit again. Right? Holy Spirit is very important. If we want to be in the resurrection, we have to have the Holy Spirit when we die. So we have again these three elements. Right, rejecting the Holy Spirit and doing it willfully and with the knowledge of the truth. Now, how do we avoid committing then the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? So, we're going to see one recommendation per element, the three elements. So, if we don't want to reject the Holy Spirit, that's the first element about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, then how do we keep it? Acts 5:32, it says, and we are his witnesses to these things. Acts 5:32, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. If you want to have the Holy Spirit, you want to keep the Holy Spirit, then keep his commandments. Obey God. Right, that's what Acts 5 says. Second, we saw that one element of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is rejecting the Holy Spirit. Another element is doing it willingly. So how do we avoid this determination just to be on, you know, determined to sin and I don't care and I fall away, blah, blah, blah. How do we avoid that? Well, we repent always. That's what we have to do. Always, you have to always be willing to repent. Let's go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's John speaking. 1 John 1, 9. John is not saying here, after you are baptized, you won't sin anymore. That's not the case. John is including himself there, and he's saying, you might sin sometimes, but you have to repent. No matter what, there might be consequences, as with David, we saw that, and then it might be a terrible sin, but if you repent sincerely, you will be forgiven by God. Now, that's not a license to sin, the grace or whatever, you know. If we just keep reading in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate. So we have to do our best to avoid sinning. But if we sin, we have to repent always. And the third element we saw about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is related with knowledge, right? Knowledge of the truth. We can't do anything about that. We already have the knowledge, in a sense. But, so what do we do? We have to keep it. We have to keep it. And how do we keep it? How do we not avoid, deviate from the truth, go astray? That's what we have to avoid. Well, Hebrews 10, 25, our last scripture, Hebrews 10, 25. That's actually the chapter that mentions the unpardonable sin that we just read today in verse 26. So the verse just before talking about the unpardonable sin here is referring to a key to avoid the unpardonable sin. It's saying, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and in some more, as you see the day approaching. So we have to congregate, brethren, to keep the knowledge, to avoid deviating from the truth, to falling away. We have to keep being here, because we hear the word. Right? We are in the right church now, and we know it. So you just have to be here. I mean, there are situations, of course, we cannot be here, sickness or distance or whatever, but we have to make an effort to congregate. In conclusion, brethren, we've seen that the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the sin that won't be forgiven, but it does not refer to a terrible sin if there is repentance. It does not refer to denying the Trinity either. It is, however, related to knowingly and willfully rejecting God's works through the Holy Spirit. If you are here, if you're truly sorry for your sins, and you want to follow God's commandments, you want to follow God, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. Let us therefore strive to congregate, obey God, and be willing to repent always.